to tomorrow. For St. George News Radio, I'm Carl Lamar.
When it comes to politics, I'm well past the tinfoil hat stage. I need a good helmet for the banging my head against the wall stage. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
Do you have any people paid by the CIA who are working for television networks?
This, I think, gets into the kind of getting into the details, Mr. Chairman, that I'd like to get into in executive session.
This analysis that we made of the CIA's media operations disclosed, among other things, that they deliver through CIA couriers ready to print or ready to broadcast news, which is used by the media.
How easy it is to make people believe a lie, and how hard it is to undo that work again.
Hi there, welcome, Kate Daly Show. I know, I played that each hour today. it ends in a Mark Twain quote, and it really was. That was taken actually from the actual hearings themselves, the investigation into the CIA co-opting media, which has never stopped, by the way. It's never stopped. And I know George Bush Sr. said it did. you know what he actually said when he said that? He said that they weren't paying them to do that anymore. He never actually said it stopped. I just wanted to give you that little tidbit. Anyway, welcome to the Kate Daly Show. Make sure that you're getting over to the website, katedalyradio.com. Make sure you visit Balance of Nature. It really is a fantastic supplement. I love this supplement. So is my husband. And let me tell you, if you want your fruits and veggies and you know you're not getting enough and you can't get enough in today's food supply because it's so watered down, if you will, on nutrients, you got to eat, what, over 400 potatoes to get one potato from, like, say, 1910? It's pretty bad. So make sure that you get to Balance of Nature because you can help correct this by getting 10 to 11 servings of fruits and vegetables every single day. Three caplets of fruits, three caplets of veggies, such an easy thing, and they have a great fiber drink that goes with it that helps stabilize blood sugar and so forth. This is a great product, and it's low in price, which is fantastic, phenomenal for you. You even get it lower because you can put the name Kate, my first name, in as a listener to the show, and you can get 35% off and free shipping. So please, by all means, do it. Do something for your health that you do have control over. Maybe some of the things we're about to talk about with Susan are going to be alarming today, and she's done some great work on this. Can I just tell you, I'm excited to hear all the details of what she has to say because I'm already alarmed looking at the header information on this. Susan's always doing the deep dive into information that we need to know that's going on behind the scenes. And there's no conspiracy theory to this. Let me just say, this is not a theory. This is actually uncovering what they're putting out right now in text. And this is why this is so phenomenal. We all need to understand what's going on here. Susan Reeve, welcome to the show.
Hi, how you doing?
Let's go. I want to talk about this. I want to talk about AI and the DOD, what the DOD released. This is so alarming on so many levels. Go for it.
So the DOD, they call it the Defense Innovation Board, the DIB, has now created AI Principles Recommendation on the Ethical Use of Artificial Intelligence by the Department of Defense. So the Department of Defense said, let's all just agree how we're going to use AI. But some of it is pretty alarming because they say, for instance, the draft recommendations say human beings should exercise appropriate levels of judgment and remain responsible for the development, deployment, use, and outcomes of DOD AI systems. Well, that sounds like pie in the sky. Human beings should do it. Who else would be doing it? AI, it says, so emphasize humans should control. Yes, they should exercise appropriate levels of judgment. Well, we know that doesn't happen in an ideal world, that people make mistakes and there's people who are corrupt. Mm-hmm. And so they're putting it down as if putting it down makes a difference. Now, we know all the shenanigans going on in our government by some people at the highest levels. They violated all the ethics rules.
Sure.
So here we are. We're writing this down.
And they just released this. This was released by the DIB. Okay.
The DIB. And it says they're doing this intentionally so that it isn't like, it says some tools, meaning unlike other types of tools like black box neural networks. So things like the CIA uses, like what's going on in there and we can't tell you. Mm-hmm. And they said, no, we want it to be more open than that.
Are we talking about like behavioral sciences, like all the things in which they do to screw with?
I think it's more the technology. They're developing mm-hmm. software that certainly can aid in that.
Okay.
But it also involves missile systems and weapons. And it says a codicil intended to keep software developed for non-combat activities from finding its way into lethal operations. So they want to create this wall that says, well, if this powerful software that's AI is mm-hmm. used here, we won't use it in military operations. And my thought is, why wouldn't they? Like, why wouldn't that migrate mm-hmm. over
right.
in some way, shape, or form? Like, isn't this going to get out of the box?
Yeah, it always does.
It always does.
They can't keep it in the box. And they never have, so.
Right. Mm. And so the ethicists are getting in on this. You know, the words matter. And so somebody said, one of the researchers said, while it's great that they're doing this, there's a number of areas that it just, AI is not autonomous. Like if something can just do something on its own, AI is in more things than that. Like artificial intelligence can go Ooh. Into more things than just things that go off on their own and do things.
Okay.
So people think, well, like, what is an example of something that can go off and do things? Well, let's say you have a drone, these drones are massive, like okay. the military drones, and just say it's off on a mission and all of a sudden they lose track of it.
Right.
Okay. Now they've lost track of it and the target was a specific vehicle or truck or something. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, now it just reprograms itself to find another one.
So is this kind of maybe a layer of we don't have accountability. We can always pass this off as a mistake the machine made and maybe do something that we don't have to claim because it's one step removed in responsibility?
Well, they're saying we want to have responsibility. We want to pin it on somebody if things go awry. So this is Rebecca Krotoff, a law professor who specializes in technology and armed conflict. And she says part of the problem is that she wants to make the DOD more accountable to the public and improve the safety by holding individuals accountable for accidents caused by AI weapons. So now it's going to be pinned on an individual. So I don't know how people would then feel comfortable like being involved in that. If we're going to pin it on you, if there's an accident.
I see.
So they're saying there could be accidents, which we know there could be.
Uh-huh.
And secondly, that they feel confident that they can pin it on somebody. Well, what we're seeing right now with the FBI and the Department of Justice, people have signatures on documents and those people aren't being held accountable. Like the people who signed stuff and should be held accountable aren't.
Mm-hmm.
But here they're saying these people should be held accountable if there's an accident. I mean, it just sounds like, So the DIB, so Frank Saar, a member of the International Panel on the Regulation of Autonomous Weapons. So we talked about autonomous, something goes off on its own.
Okay.
Now there's robots on the battlefield too, like
right.
robot. And so he said the DIB report is very well thought out, but what has people like myself and the arms control community in general very concerned is the uncontrollable risk of escalation accompanying fully automated kill chains, meaning
what?
AI and automation creeping into the processes by which the military collects information on a target, dispatches a weapon to attack, and ultimately kills it. So they're just saying, we're not 100% confident and comfortable with the fact that as these get developed, that we're going to be launching these things with specific missions based on targeting, and that how are we going to manage that power?
Well, yeah. The Guardian had an article a couple of years ago was all about weaponized AI is coming. Weaponized AI.
Right.
And then I always do think there is like that, once removed sort of, well, a machine makes mistakes, we're not responsible kind of thing. But this is a really dangerous field to be in.
It's really dangerous. But one of the things, so Michael Horowitz, a political science professor at the University of Pennsylvania, said it's the ultimate impact will not depend on just how the principles actually shape DoD investment, but in how the broader AI community perceives it. He said, by putting this out there, it increases the chances that some skeptics in the broader AI community are willing to work to improve. So essentially, like, let's bring in the skeptics and that maybe hackers even. Mm-hmm. And it talks in the actual principles, which is 11 pages long, how they created a red team. Okay. And the red team, what I understand, they said they had a red team session, tabletop exercise to pressure test the principles of realistic policy scenarios and against current intelligence about potential AI and warfare. And they used the input of 100 internal and external experts. And so I think what they're trying to do is let's see how this can be hacked. Let's see the worst case scenarios. Mm-hmm. Let's build to this. But what I don't understand is if you have an infinite iterations of more and bigger and more powerful things, how are you going to keep ahead of this?
Well, yeah, it's a great question. A couple of years ago, they were working on 600 projects at that time, and it was $2 billion, okay, that they were spending. And they announced this, and what I thought was kind of interesting, even a couple of years ago when we were reporting on AI, and of course, all the people like Elon Musk were warning about what would happen. Why do we need this in war? Why? What if you really look at big picture, why do we need to develop this at such a huge pace? Why are we going so quickly? Why are we putting so much money into this? Why are we putting so much of our resources into AI?
I honestly think part of the answer lies in the fact that other people are too. So if the Chinese are, if the Russians are, if other people are making progress in this area, we have no choice but to keep up and stay ahead, right? One of the things that came out in these ethical recommendations, it says, of particular importance is DoD's commitment to uphold the law of war. For the U.S., the body of law includes treaties the U.S. has accepted, such as the 1949 Geneva Conventions, and that we have legal obligations to that. And that supposedly we're supposed to stay inside the framework, it said, of civil society and the U.S. Constitution. Now, I can't even begin to how are they going to contain this inside those parameters when we already know factions inside, and maybe not the DoD specifically, but factions in our government go way outside this.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And everything's done in national security, air quotes, and everything's done in secret. You never know what they're doing. There's really no accountability. And the Pentagon legalized putting out different budgets, too, to say that they never have to put out a budget that's truthful. And they can put out multiple ones.
The black budgets,
oh,
that's right.
Oh, my gosh. Be right. They legalized themselves to do that. Be right back on The Kate Daly Show.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is The Kate Daly Show.
You're wondering who I am.
Secret, I've got a secret.
Machine or mannequin.
Secret, I've got a secret.
With parts made in Japan.
Secret, I've got a secret.
I am the modern man.
Hi there, welcome back. Kate Daly Show. Oh, come on. I had to play some sticks. I've got Susan Reeven with me, and we're just shaking our heads, you know. The AI question is, it really will be over the next decade something that I think surprises all of us in what they're able to do and what they're going to do and some of the nefarious things they're going to do with it. I wish we could actually put a lid on it. I really do. I'm nervous. I'm really nervous because we delve into so much secrecy all the time around it with what we're funding and what we're doing that, and there's no way to contain it. That's what's so scary to me, Susan. anyway.
Yeah, I think the genie is out of the bottle.
Yeah.
I think there's just no way to contain. And it's like fire ants just pouring out of the anthill, you know? They're not, and they're so excited about it. Like, this is the future.
Well, just because we should doesn't mean we should.
Yeah,
just because we can, I'm sorry, doesn't mean we should, right? And we don't get that memo. We just think it's so cool and that we can do these things without thinking them out. So
right. And most people don't understand. I didn't. No. So good to dive into occasionally. Yeah. One of the things, so there was in that document, there was just a lot of specific words.
That the DOD put out, if you're just joining us, that the DIB actually, section of the DOD put out in
on
ethics.
Their ethics on AI. And so, you know, words matter and whatnot. But then I came across this thing. It was just published today in CityJournal.com, which I just love. They have so many articles and they have a magazine they put out. But this one is by Seth Baron, and it's called Orwellian Word Games.
Mm-hmm.
From Los Angeles to New York, progressive elected officials abuse language in an attempt to change how we think. So, a new law in California bans the use in official documents of the term at risk to describe youth identified by social workers, teachers, or the courts as likely to drop out of school, join a gang, or go to jail.
So that's banned?
Stricken. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Let's take a caller before you go on. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Ladies, you got to realize we're already there.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
In terms of autonomous stuff, we're already there. And who are you going to tell?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's say I'm the one guy that's got, you know, my finger on the button or whatever. I'm the controls.
Yeah, sure.
Who are you going to tell that we actually have control of this stuff, but we want the enemy to think that it's autonomous so that we have mutually, what do you call it?
Assured destruction.
Just like the old days. You gotta convince the enemy that, you know, if they try to, like, China's in bad shape right now, their economy's really hurting, who's to say they wouldn't want to, you know, give it to us too?
Yeah.
So we got to scare them.
Yeah.
Now, by saying this, you kind of screw things up because, well, they really aren't going to do it. But you got to make them think you're going to.
Yeah, that's true. I mean,
I understand your fears, but the point is we're already there.
No, I know we're already there.
Stuff ever since I was a kid and had to go into the, you know, learn to crawl into the seat in school.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, for the bomb.
Yeah. It was going to protect us.
Well, think about it this way. China, I mean, is their facial recognition getting all screwed up because of the masks? Because they can't identify anybody. There are some things that are happening over there that might be working in their favor. Who knows? But
unintended consequences.
Unintended consequences. Hat tip to Melissa on that one. Anyway,
thank you.
Appreciate the call.
Gosh.
Yeah, I know we're there. It's a scary prospect. It really is. But we're 20, 30, 40 years ahead in technology, aren't we?
That's right.
What we actually see.
See day to day. Right. So this is kind of, I'm surprised it's taken them this long. So anyway, we were talking about this banning the use in California, new law of the term at risk.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because if you study any type of psychology at social work, there's all these, what the government officially calls risk factors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're in a single parent family, if you're younger than four, you are, you know, non-biological transient caregivers. There's all sorts of things that have been proven in research to show people are at risk. But now they have a new word. They want to call it at promise.
Mm-hmm.
At promise.
Okay.
This child, and they said there isn't even a language term in English that means at promise. There's promising. But it's what in the world it says an at promise pupil. So somebody who's dropped out, somebody who's failing school is considered not at risk, at promise.
Mm-hmm.
To value the child.
Right.
Like, say this is a valuable child, but it's such a strange thing. So they're doing that and they think that that's going to make some kind of difference. Of course, the New York City Human Rights Commission says you can't use illegal alien. That's been going on for some time. But alien is all through our government codes.
Mm-hmm.
It's not federal and state codes. It's supposed to be a neutral term. It just means you're not a citizen. It's not like a mean term. And so they just want to say non-citizen now and replace that. But it's words matter. And if you are trying to get precise, you think really people are going to start calling these kids at promising? You are making us, forcing us into mind games. These are really mind games. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't help us. It doesn't help the kids to see it differently, because everyone knows it's like a trick.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even, it's not serious. It's some crazy thing that's come down from the legislature. It was one guy who said, let's do this. Mm-hmm. And because he said, if you call them at risk, it is just furthering the school to prison pipeline by calling them at risk. So instead of finding out and getting to the root of what really is causing them to drop out and go to jail, you are just changing the language.
Interesting.
As a solution, which is Orwellian. That's what Orwell said. Let's just change it. Start saying strange things. So that's very strange.
Gosh.
And it comes out of California. And of course, California is the place, San Francisco especially, that has the poop map.
The feces map.
The feces map for tourists. And
of human poop, not dog poop.
Not dog.
No.
And where you log it onto with a marker on a
Nancy Pelosi, you must be proud of your district.
No. And it's and speaking of that situation, there's a reason things weren't getting better, is that the guy in charge of cleaning that up was having a illicit affair with the mayor. So clearly they weren't focused on the problems at hand. They were doing other things. And then he got arrested recently for bribery or taking money. I'm so serious. And you wonder why things don't get better.
No, it just explains so much. It really, you have to talk about Petey Boy too. Petey Boy's family.
Oh, so Pete.
I love Petey Boy.
Pete Buttigieg.
Oh, geez.
So yes. Pete Buttigieg is a very interesting person because his family comes from the area of Malta and out there in Tripoli. And the thing about that is he has had a interesting childhood, was raised partially
to say
there.
The least.
Yes. And it turns out it's looking like he was in Navy Intel, on the Reserve Navy Intel. Who else was in Reserve Navy Intel? Hunter Biden. How did Hunter Biden get a commission in Reserve Navy Intel? And why that particular branch? And it turns out it gives you access to encrypted military communication devices. Again, there's a small group of people who were involved in the Iran deal, in Burisma, in all of these different things that require languages. How many languages does Pete Buttigieg speak?
Right.
Seven.
But he doesn't like to talk about it. It's really kind of strange. He doesn't like to, you know, most people would like talk about that a little bit, or even, you know, have that as part of the resume often. He doesn't. He doesn't like people to know that. He doesn't want to have people know how connected he really is.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now the research, this is, I have to give a hat tip to George Webb, who has his YouTube channel, but he's an independent investigator who's gone around using metadata. So he looks at IP addresses. He looks into things in a way that very few people can, because he has a background in that. So he says it's turning out the research shows that Pete Buttigieg's father was born in Malta, and that his grandfather was spent a lot of time in Malta, getting back to the group of Knights of Malta.
Okay.
And one of those Knights of Malta was also related to Joe Smith, who was a Trump campaign member. You got connections to the Odessa Network. But here Pete Buttigieg was doing things that people said, oh, well, no, he was behind, you know, he was mayor in Indiana.
Right.
Well, it turns out he was at a language school in 2011, 2012 in Tripoli at the language school in Tunisia. Now, there's a reason people go there, and it's more or less teaching people to use in a military capacity. So he has had a role, it looks like, it's starting to look like through the data, probably the Iran deal and more. So to come out and make him look like, oh, I'm just this little small town mayor doing my thing in this small town that is not functioning, you know. There is so much more to his backstory and what he was doing concurrently.
Well, he was put on these groups from a young age, and I mean in his 20s, put on all these groups to talk about foreign policy and things going. I mean, this kid was groomed.
Well, Rhodes Scholar,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And so they, and now he's, the language thing is key because that makes you very valuable in using you in Farsi, you know,
yeah,
so, which is what they speak in Iran. So there's a lot that when you look at him, some people just swoon and think, well, he's just darling and all American and smart and uses good words.
Oh,
back to
heavens.
The words again.
Yeah.
They're impressed with the kinds of words he uses. Remember, they were impressed, like a Barack Obama, it was seemed so well educated and very wordy. And but, you know, there's
scripted.
There's a beguiling aspect to that, is that it keeps you distracted from looking.
It reminds me of Evan McMuffin.
Yes.
McMullen.
Yes.
It totally does. It reminds me of him.
Yeah, we all know who you mean when you say McMuffin.
It reminds me of him parading himself around as something he absolutely was not. And it's good to finally get people that go, oh my gosh, I fell for it, but I entered a 12-step program and now I'm understanding that these people are not who they are. And honestly, this is going on so often that I don't even think we understand.
We don't.
Much it goes on.
It goes on in the shadows. It's behind the scenes and they've done it. We're really without the consent of the people. I don't know who they're getting consent from except the people above them.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know that our average senators and congressmen keep track of this. And I think when they do see things that are happening.
Mm-hmm.
Our congressman in our state, Jason Chavez, left after just a few years and then wrote a book called How the Deep State Protected Barack Obama. And
right.
he got out. And I think that's what happens. If you stay in,
right.
then you become liable for that information. There's a term that I discovered when I was researching this. And it is, you know, we understand corruption terms. We understand terms like bribery and theft, and we understand things like that. Well, there is a corruption term called an unholy alliance, which is a term of corruption.
Yes.
So when you think about Barack Obama and giving $150 billion to Iran, and here they're using them to purchase,
right.
you know, there's missile weapons that come along with that. That is an unholy alliance. And David Petraeus... was part of the Blackberries,
right.
part of the military intelligence.
We'll be right back.
Yes.
Kate Daly's show. We'll be right back. More with Susan Reed when we come back.
Balance of nature. Changing the world, one life at a time.
I'm very, very athletic. I play ice hockey 2 or 3 days a week. You know, I'm in good shape for my age. You know, I keep up with the young kids. But, you know, I get tired. Muscles get sore. I'm achy. So I noticed just by taking this product for a month, I'm not as tired as I used to be or fatigued. Muscles feel good. I feel like my stamina is better than it was. I just feel better than I did, and I wasn't really complaining before.
Don't wait to see what getting over 10 servings of whole fruits and vegetables every day can do for you. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order of fruits and veggies. Start your journey to better health today by calling 1-800-246-8751 or by going to balanceofnature.com and make sure to receive this special radio offer by using discount code KATE.
Lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Wear a day coat, pants with stripes, and cutaway coat, perfect fits. Putting on the Ritz. Dressed up like a $1 million jewelry pup. Trying hard to look like Gary Cooper.
Hi there. Welcome back. Kate Daly Show. I know. Way back machine. Welcome back. And I do want to hear about, make sure, by the way, go to katedalyradio.com. Recorded versions of this live show that you're listening to right now so you can pass it along to friends and family, your crowd. And I'm serious. We really need to get this out there. The things that we talk about on this show. And Susan, let's talk about some of the things the Justice Department did that sort of of went unnoticed, because sometimes some good news too, when people are actually having to be accountable, that's kind of nice too.
Well, it is. And people keep saying, when are indictments happening? It doesn't seem like anything's happening. Well, here's what happened this last week.
Okay.
Chinese telecommunications conglomerate Huawei and subsidiaries charged in racketeering conspiracy and conspiracy to steal trade secrets. So that was our Justice Department charging this Chinese, that, which is basically an extension of the Chinese government. Okay. Jesse Smollett. Indicted with 6 charges for his hoax.
That was good to see.
That was really good to see.
And, that was.
And it was really good because they made videos of people going, how can people not believe him? I can't believe it. It's racist. And they did. I mean, that was hilarious to look back at that.
Yeah.
The Justice Department launched a legal assault to roll back sanctuary cities.
Okay.
They said they're going after them. They're going to send in people. A Barr announced Giuliani had turned over to them investigative information about Ukraine, turned over all his documents. And Michael Avenatti was found guilty of all his charges. So he was the creepy porn lawyer that everybody kept saying.
That he thought he was going to run for president.
He's presidential material. The same people that said, how can you not believe Jesse Smollett, also said Michael Avenatti was presidential material, essentially. So Roger Stone had that crazy sentencing for supposedly lying 7 to 9 years. Uh-huh. And so now AG Barr said that was outrageous. We're going to look at it like rape is only 3 to 5 years.
Right.
And so then those 4 Mueller investigators all resigned for who were corrupt. And so Alexander Vindman and the Vindman twins and
those
Gordon
are creepy
Sutherland.
Pair of twins. I'm sorry.
Kind of.
Do they interchange themselves sometimes in their jobs? I don't know. Just a question.
I know. It's kind of like out of Stanley Kubrick.
It's
the
like
Shining, right?
Looking at a CIA asset and then watching the twin emerge and you're like, I don't know.
Something is not right here. Feels a little creepy.
Yeah.
Anyway,
really creepy.
Trump also removed 70 former Obama holdovers, and there could be more from the National Security Council.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, Graham, Senator Graham said he wants to make 17 officials asking for them to come interview with him. Like, what's going on with this whole Mueller investigation?
Oh,
so
please.
Graham sent a letter.
Sure,
everyone else is like, people are going to jail. There's
Graham's
real world consequences. Graham's like, I sent letters.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
Graham's a tool. And I'm sorry if you like Lindsey Graham. I just have never liked the guy. I think he's a total tool.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't trust him at all. He was McCain's bestie.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he turned into a totally different guy after McCain died. I don't know.
Well, maybe he knows where his bread is buttered, so to speak. So Trump is the new strong man. I know. I'm not trying to be creepy. Anyway, Durham scrutinizing John Brennan's handling of the Russian interference. So all these little machinations of former CIA chief John Brennan, Durham is now officially on that. Barr installed an outside prosecutor to review the case against General Flynn and how that was handled, because to review Roger Stone's case and McCabe, outside prosecutors, you know, they're still part of the system. So I don't know how that's going to work.
Okay.
But if you really start paying attention, things do happen. And some of these are really significant, and you know, they're significant by how badly the media freaks out. You'll have people freaking out on the left in the mainstream media. And then you go, oh, that probably was an important thing.
Either that or ignoring it altogether.
Yeah.
Like they just try and, you know, brush that aside
and just focus on something completely
on what they want to focus on. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Meghan and not Prince William, but the other. Yes. That Andrew, not Andrew.
Yeah.
They're not even focused on Andrew.
No,
if that would be the case. No, it's on Meghan.
Yeah.
So anyway, I think that's really a good thing. But it leads to something that very interesting came out. A new book is coming out. I have to order it. You can't download it, which is my favorite way to read it. And it is by a man by the name of Christopher Sine.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote a book called Secret on the Tarmac. Do you remember that meeting of Loretta Lynch and Bill Clinton on the tarmac, the two planes in Arizona?
Mm-hmm.
He has fresh details out. He was the one who broke the news in June 2016 that Clinton, when his wife was under investigation by the Obama Justice Department, that she This AG met secretly with Bill Clinton at the Phoenix airport on her airplane. And so there's intimate rumor.
Yeah, nothing to see here, folks.
No, but that meeting was tipped off because they knew it was planned. And so somebody tipped it off to a witness who saw the meeting. And so they said, the author said, we knew something had occurred that was a bit unusual. It was a planned meeting. It was not a coincidence, like they said. They said it was a 37-minute meeting to talk about grandchildren and golf. That he had been on a golf thing, and that's all they talked
and
about.
And Hillary's emails are about Chelsea's wedding.
Right, and yoga.
75,000 of them.
Yes, Hillary and yoga. Not something that really... Two things.
Has she ever been in a yoga studio? I mean...
Wearing the yoga clothes. I can't imagine.
No, she wears the yoga clothes. Oh, she just doesn't go in the studio.
In the studio, oh gosh.
No, she just wears the muumuus. Anyway.
The tents. The mini tents.
Grotesque woman.
Anyway, so here's his witness said that Bill Clinton... This wasn't a coincidence. He sat and waited in his car with the motorcade. Her stairs came down and most of her staff gets off. He waited. Then he gets on as the Secret Service and FBI are figuring out how in the world are we supposed to be handling this? Are we supposed to go with him? Are we supposed to stay down here? Like they weren't told ahead of time. Mm-hmm. And yet this was planned for him to talk to her alone.
Right.
So she had to testify in front of the committees. And she said she mentioned that Bill Clinton flattered her, talked about Eric Holder, who was investigating his wife, talked about how things were going at Justice. Now, how is that appropriate for her to be talking with him about that when his wife is under investigation? Mm-hmm. Talked about her own job performance, not his golf and grandkids. And they talked about Brexit. And so he says in this process, as he was investigating, his family received death threats and his children, they had to have code words. And he said they really tapped into something. And so I'm going to order his book and read more about what else he found out. But she, because she had to testify, then she said her testimony was said, as we walked to the door, the head of my security detail came to me and said, ma'am, I've been informed that former President Clinton is also at the airfield and would like to say hello. And that she spoke for several minutes, but they spoke for 20. And so originally, everyone poo-pooed this. So she added to her testimony that he had talked about reading an article on Brexit. And anyway, something else was going on. It was really important for him to wait till everybody got off and then talk to her privately while his wife was under investigation. And that kind of forced Comey's hand to come out and say, you know, there's no charges here. Yeah. And the other one was, we are looking into it again.
And they didn't say Hillary promises you Supreme Court if you get in, if you stop investigating or doing anything.
And anyway. How predictable would that be?
Yeah.
I mean, Bill Clinton is the ultimate politician. He knows how the game is played. And so this was planned. It wasn't a coincidence.
These are all such big events. And then it's straining at a gnat with everything that I feel like in the last 3 years. I mean, it's straining over a gnat. And in comparison, we had the last 8 years, and I'm not even talking about the other presidencies, but the last 8 years of some of the biggest scandals right in front of our face, things you couldn't avoid if you even tried, nothing but straining at a gnat for the last 3 years. It just is amazing to me what they'll pick and choose.
Well, and part of this is we just went through this Ukrainian investigation where it was like, drop the investigation or you don't get the $1 billion. Was he saying also, drop this investigation into my wife and, you know, and then you get maybe Supreme Court.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it
connects literally to what we just went through. It was literally, was this quid pro quo? Yep. What is going on behind the scenes?
But don't talk about the stuff that actually happened or, you know, that looks like it happened. Talk about the stuff that didn't happen and try and turn it into that. It's pretty amazing.
It is just beyond. But it also says that there are people out there trying to help us on the other side, trying to point things out. Information is leaking through. I think more and more has come out, and they are fighting harder than ever because more people know more things. More people are aware. And that's why they are supporting Trump right now, is because he has brought these things up. Last week, we talked about Brian Terry and how his mother came forward and that she visited with Trump on two occasions and said, I had his secret journal, things were happening. And Trump said, wait till all this is done with my impeachment. And then we are going to focus on that. Benghazi. And hopefully, well, and those were the two things he mentioned.
Right.
So that's an interview with the mom. So if Trump is going to dive back into this and really dig out who did what and when, holding people accountable.
Right.
Let's just see if he has the power to do this. He's not your average person. So who knows? I think I would like to put my my bet on him.
Right.
That the fact that he was willing to meet with Brian Terry's mother twice and said, wait, we are going to do this.
Right.
Otherwise, he would have just brushed her off or not met with her, had Pence meet with her.
True.
Instead, it was him. Mm-hmm. Like, this stuff, like, gets in his craw. Like, we are not going to let this go.
Right.
Because it's so wrong. Yeah. What happened? All that gun trafficking was so wrong. And just to remind people, his secret journal that the FBI didn't find, but he stuffed in his cowboy boots in a box because they were brand new boots or work boots, said that they were told when he would find a carload of people with all these weapons, he'd call it in and they'd say, let it go, let it go. And he told his mom, he said, I'm scared. Something's going on. I don't even want to go back to work, when he went and visited her right before he was killed in an ambush.
Right.
But then the gun that was left behind was a Fast and Furious gun that had leaked out.
That's so true.
So
I know we only have a few minutes, but I know you wanted to comment on decadence.
Oh, on decadence, again, City Journal, which is one of my favorite destinations on the web, city-journal.com. Ross Douthat, who's a conservative, quote unquote, who writes for The New York Times, he's written a book called The Decadent Society, How We've Become the Victims of Our Own Success, that we live with so much decadence in our culture that basically we can do everything on our own. We can just make our own meals in the microwave. We can watch TV and have all the entertainment we want. There's so much entertainment. You can stream Netflix, you know, and just jump from episode to episode. Have you ever done that?
Yeah.
Where it's like, wait a minute, time is spinning by. Okay, just one more episode.
Yes, I've done it too many times, actually.
I know, they have us. Like, and so he's saying the more isolated people become, what is the reason for us ever to come together again as a community? And one of the things that he promotes, he is a Christian, is to say that faith brings people together because it says being together is important.
Right.
Otherwise, people just become an irritant in our lives. You know, be quiet, I want to watch this. Or
I'm
just eating by myself and I don't want to have to talk to people at the table. And have you ever had to tell your kids to put their phones down?
Oh,
at the table.
I sound like a broken record.
I know. Put your phone away. Put your phone down.
Yes.
I say that to my husband.
Yes.
I have been guilty of it, too, of taking my, put my computer at the table if I'm eating alone. But what it does is it alienates us from other people. We're not building those relationships.
Right.
We're not investing in them. We're not saying, how are you doing? What's going on with you? Because honestly, the more compelling stuff that we see online, the less we care what our individual family members are doing.
Yeah.
Like, it just, it's not as exciting as what Megan and whatever, you know, even though it is so shallow, like interesting, but shallow.
The average person right now is spending, I think, what is it, 4 to 5 hours a day on Facebook and in the media on their phones. And you can actually look on your phone in the settings. There's usually a space where it says, you know, how much time you're devoting every day.
And it's
on average.
Shocking.
It is shocking.
And it it says it's like intellectual exhaustion. Like, what are we still thinking about? And then we can virtually attack people in politics.
There you go.
So anyway, Connection, and it's The Decadent Society. Ross Douthat.
If you're local, the movie Vax 2, The Van is in town, and that is at Main Street Theater, 7:30 tonight. Make sure you go. Andrew Wakefield in town. I've had him as a guest on the show. He's amazing. And lots of stuff going on, man. Thank you, Susan Reeve.
You're so welcome.
Thank you.
Yes,
and we'll see y'all here tomorrow with Chris Ann Hall and Uncle Milty as well. Everybody have a great night. Be faithful. Be fearless. See you tomorrow.